Welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Thankful you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 1, Luke 9, verse 1. Then he, that is Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, verse 6, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So the Lord takes the 12 apostles, and he gives them a charge. He's sending them forth. And it says here, he gave them a power and authority over all devils. Now, that's interesting, and I had not seen that before myself, how it said he gave them power and authority over all devils. So all of them. And what we have here is the 12, as has been listed in previous chapters, when the Lord chose them from his disciples. These 12 apostles, he gave them this special ability and power. He gave them authority. He's training them to lead after his ascension, after the fulfilling of his gospel. And he gives them power to cast out all devils the way that he has. And even Judas had that ability. And again, Judas is a testimony to the fact the Lord knew that he was not a believer. The Lord knew that he would be possessed by Satan to betray the Lord. But yet the Lord chose him to be an apostle. And I believe that it's part of the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, his working in bringing the gospel to pass. But it's also a testimony to you and me that not even the highest station, the highest office in the Lord's churches, that of an apostle, is not salvation. It is not salvation to be an apostle. Pastors are not saved because they're pastors. Sinners are saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation upon them. It says here, he gave them power and authority to cure diseases. And so there were diseases that the people had, and Jesus has been prolific in healing them of their diseases, casting out demons. He gives that power and ability unto the apostles. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so they are healing, okay? They are healing the sick, and they are preaching the gospel of the kingdom, to preach the kingdom of God, to preach about Jesus being at hand, to preach about the need of sinners, that they have their sins, that they need forgiven, and they need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They need him. They're preaching about the kingdom of God and Jesus making it possible by his salvation that men, women, boys, and girls can enter into that kingdom and be in that kingdom as a child of God and not just a subject of the kingdom. I believe that the Bible bears out and is so that all things, everything known and unknown, everything created that we can see, as the scripture says, and can't see, is in the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. But you know what? If you're not saved, you may not know it. But this doesn't change the fact that you are in the kingdom of God. You are in God's domain. You are under God's kingship and rulership, his headship. You know what? Need to submit to it. Need to submit to the Lord that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you need him for the salvation of your soul, and that the free gift that he brings in giving Jesus Christ as Savior, you must receive. You need to receive that, admitting that you're a sinner and repenting of your sins before God and trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. They went preaching the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is at hand, and sinners need to receive him. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves. So don't take a walking stick. Don't take a stick to defend yourself with and to steady you and help you on the trip, to be able to have that in your hand. And as you walk along, take that stave and put it against the ground and use that to support yourself, to lean upon, to again defend yourself, to help you along the way. He says, don't take a stave, don't take script. Don't take any money. Neither don't take any bread. He said, don't take any food with you. You just go. Neither money, neither script. So that which would be used to pay the tolls, money to buy a food with and the necessities of life. He says, neither have two coats apiece. Just wear your one coat. And, you know, I think about that. In our day, we have heated cars. The thing with the coats here, I believe, is dealing more so with being in the elements, and if they would be found in a situation where they would need to spend the night out of a dwelling, out of a building, that it would be good to have two coats. They might not need two coats during the day, but certainly when the sun would fall, two coats, a coat and a cloak, would certainly be handy so that they would keep themselves warm and not get sick. They don't have the convenience that you and I have today with a heated house and a heated car and heated businesses and so many dwellings along the way that we can come to and get in. They just didn't have that convenience, in that day like you and I. And so it was a great trust and a great thing for the Lord to tell them, don't take two coats. Leave your cloak here and just take the one coat, that you would need. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and depart and thence depart. So as they go along, the Lord says there's going to be some that's going to receive you, and you go there. You go in there and you stay there until it's time to leave. Whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. He said, I'm going to show you that I can provide for you. That's what the Lord's doing here. He's doing a couple things. The gospel of the kingdom is being preached, and the disciples, the apostles, are being shown that the Lord will provide for them, even though they don't take their stay, they don't take their script, their money, any food, their bread, and they leave their cloak behind. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, verse 5, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. He said there will be some that won't receive you. And so households may not receive you. Cities may not receive you in the message that you preach about the kingdom, about me. When that's the case, take and shake off the dust of your shoes that your shoes collected while you were there in their midst at that house, before that house, or before that city. Shake it off, and it'll be a testimony unto them. They did not receive the Lord and his work. And they departed, verse 6, and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And so they went forth as the Lord commanded them, obeying him and being provided for. And in other passages, we see the Lord referring to that. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, verse 7, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. So Herod, he's the tetrarch of Galilee, and he's the governor of the ruler of Galilee, appointed by Rome. And he hears all these things that Jesus is doing. I mean, what Jesus is doing is making the news. And he was perplexed. He said, some of his advisors and those around him, and the rumor at hand is that John's risen from the dead. Herod knew that he had John beheaded, and for Herodias' sake, Herodias had asked for John's head on a charger when her daughter had danced before Herod. John had challenged Herod about having taken Philip, his brother's wife, to himself to wed. It was wickedness, and John challenged him in that. And so he had John put in prison, and then Herodias, having hated John at the time that her daughter danced before Herod, Herod promised that he would give unto the damsel half up to half of his kingdom, and she inquired with her mother, and the mother said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a charger. So Herod, he was sad. He hadn't thought about that because he had John in prison, but he had some respect towards John. But then, for what he had said, for the oath, he went ahead and had him beheaded. So he knew that John had been beheaded. But some are saying that John's risen from the dead. Now, the interesting thing is that John never worked a miracle. In all of the ministry of John, as recorded in the scriptures, John never worked any kind of miracle. He was a prophet of the power and the word of God and bringing and having that of baptism. Others are saying that Elijah has appeared and come back. Elijah having been carried up in the whirlwind front unto the Lord in his day before Elisha. And so they're saying that Elijah has come back. And others are saying, well, he's got to be one of the old prophets. One of the Old Testament prophets, as we would say, was risen again. And John muses in his own mind. He says, well, I've beheaded John, but who is this? Who is this? I sure would like to see him. I would sure like to see who he is. How about you? Do you know who Jesus is? Have you seen who Jesus is? Oh, I'm not talking about with these mortal eyes that we have, but have you seen who Jesus is by faith? I tell you what, if you're here under the hearing of this broadcast and my voice, and you've not repented of your sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we point you to the Savior. You need the Savior indeed. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell without the Lord Jesus as Savior. You're on your way to hell, condemned forever. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that sinners are condemned because they have not believed in Him. They have not believed in Him, in His name, His gospel. But you know what? By repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can be saved. And you can be a child of this kingdom that the disciples, the apostles preached, that we preach today. A son, not a subject, but a son through Jesus Christ. I see that our time is fast for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.